Galatia today. So, I was...
Yeah. We're going to talk about Galatia. Right? And then me being very tech savvy, I got here early and I put pictures of the map, but then Wi-Fi is completely down. I don't know, it's just weird. So I drew this very accurate map. If you just tilt your head to the side, you could actually take a picture and scale this. This is to the T, right? You could like travel Europe in this. So Jerusalem is down here. I didn't have enough room.
Yeah, because
somebody
just
somebody, God's word. I don't know. But Jerusalem is right here. And as we're coming up, here's Galatia. You can't read my writing. Right here. And then Greece is over here. We're just in Corinth, which is like right in here. All right. And there's Crete. I don't know. Black Sea. So, does anybody know the modern country that this is in?
Is it Turkey?
It is Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. It was the picture, huh?
It was the star. I thought Turkey was
like, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, it's a gold star.
Huh?
It's a gold star.
No, I
think
it's two pieces of candy.
Oh,
gosh. So, fun fact. We like fun facts, right? Yeah. Is Galatia was primarily made up of Greek and Celtic immigrants.
Whoa.
So apparently back in the day, if you lose the NBA final, they ship you off to Turkey.
Uh-oh.
But, no, just kidding. But Celtics, anybody, you know, it's a tribe. It was a tribe in Europe. But it's mostly known to be part of which country?
Britain.
Britain? Yeah, it's close. But well, I mean, Lucky Charms, Irish, right?
British people.
But Irish, right? So I just thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know, maybe I'm alone. It's just, huh?
That's yeah. Very cool.
Lucky Charms was very popular in the region. Paul had a bowl or two, I think. Now, also, you know, people moved around, right? And the Jews moved around. The Jewish people, they settled a lot of different places, and they also settled in this region. We know this because they had synagogues, so there'd be enough people that caused them to build a synagogue, or they'd just meet in a certain spot. But it was mostly... People there were mostly Gentiles. So difference between Jews and Gentiles is?
Jews are Jews and Gentiles are not Jews.
Ah, oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yes.
What other differences? I'm looking for differences, not just, yes.
The Jews are God's people.
Jews are God's people. Yeah? Are not. So what did God's people have that the Gentiles did not have?
The Bible.
The Torah. Yeah, good. Yeah. So they had God's word, mm-hmm. Right? And along with, yes?
They had God's promise.
God's promise, right? Along with that, God also gave them something on Mount Sinai.
The scripture, or the commandments, what are they called?
The commandments.
The commandments. So they had the law, right? They had Moses' law. I give you these 10.
Make fun of Moses?
No, I respect the guy. I couldn't grow a beard like that. Just assuming. No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. So they had the law, right? And the law, that's a big issue for a lot of people. A lot of people. So over 1,000 years, it was more like 1,400 years underneath the law. So there's a lot of history. A lot of history, a lot of customs, a lot of traditions. And people do not like change. Have you noticed that? You know, pennies aren't worth much anymore. They don't like change. Sorry, too many jokes. But we could see in the book of Acts, Paul visiting Galatia, right? He would start by preaching on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, in the synagogues to the Jewish people. And then on Sunday, primarily it seems they chose that day is because that's the day Jesus rose from the grave. On Sunday, he'd preach to the Gentiles. Now, God saving Gentiles, you know, that was a new and radical idea. You know, typically, Jews and Gentiles, they were like best buds and they always got along. You know, they share food. No. They kind of hated each other. They kind of hated each other. They both thought, well, especially the Jews did not think the Gentiles were worthy. So this was a radical idea. However, it was always God's plan. It was always God's plan. He always planned on saving the whole world. Just some Jews didn't know it yet. Paul planted churches, and this is who the Galatian letter is sent out to. And it was a letter, kind of untypical. It was sent out so that it could go to multiple churches. It wasn't just directly at one, because there were several churches that he planted in that region. So Galatians chapter 1, 1 and 2 will be up on the screen. And Sierra, can you read that, please?
Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia.
So the Eastern culture is different from the Western culture. Right? It's just different. And when they write letters, they start out with who it's from. And then they go on to who it's to, and then they go on with the letter. So out in the Western culture, we start our letters how?
By addressing the person writing.
Right. So we'd say, oh, to the Galatians, or dear Galatians. But it starts out a little different. Now, a couple weekends ago, me and Michelle were at a bookstore, right? And I picked up an anime book. And then all of a sudden, just poof, it was, huh? Oh, I picked up a manga book. That just sounds weird. But, and just poof, it was all written backwards, or, well, it wasn't backwards, but it was binded backwards. It's like, this is so weird. Right. I mean, it's because I'm old and I'm used to my ways. You know, my point is that change might not be a big deal to some, but it's still not what we're used to. You know, and to others, it will always seem weird. It'd just be confusing to me to read my book like that. But Paul is letting the Galatians know who is writing this letter, right? And actually, I think it makes sense, because maybe you don't want to read this letter if it's from if it's junk mail, you get over with right away. But Paul lets them know that he's writing this letter and he has authority into what he's about to write. That he has, you know, he has good confidence, or he's gotten permission. He's backed by authority, which is God. You know, so he has the highest authority that could be there. Now, apostle is basically what that the definition for apostle is, one who has been sent. So he's been sent out. Paul was not sent out by man or by given power by a man. He was sent out by Jesus and has been given power by God. He wants to let him know that you could trust this. This way he would say, you could trust me in what I'm going to say. Right? Galatians chapter 1, 3 through 5. Aiden?
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right, so Paul, very simply, but in these five verses, he gives a message, right? He gives a complete message of what? Anybody ever struggle just talking to people about God? But in these five verses, yes. Yeah, but in these just in these little five verses, he gives the gospel message. Just plain and simple, he gives the full gospel message. You know, the same one he planted the churches with, but he says that God rose from the dead, right? After he sacrificed himself for our sins so that we could be saved, right? And it's because of God's will. Because God wanted it to happen. God wanted us to save us because God loves us. Amen. Right? That's the whole gospel message. That's the good news. Verses 6 through 9. Anna? Here we see a perfect reason why Marvel's better than DC is because Marvel's mentioned in the Bible, right? But we do see, just like in 2 Corinthians, false teachers have come into this town and they started teaching another gospel. You know, they were ID'd, these guys, and they're the Judaizers. They labeled them as the Judaizers. You know, they call themselves Christians, yet they want to add to Paul's message. That's what he's talking about, perverting the message, is that they're adding to it. They taught that believing in Jesus is very important. You need to believe in Jesus. But, and it's that but they get in trouble with is, but in order to be saved, you need to keep the whole law. You need to keep the customs. You need to keep the traditions. You need to become Jewish. Nobody should dare to add or change God's word. Paul even says, even if I come to you later or an angel, you know, you should be able to trust the angel, but if they change the gospel I've told you before, if they change that, don't believe them. Run the other way. Right? In Deuteronomy 12:32, Sienica. I said it under my breath. Yeah. You're a God. So God is strongly against not adding or taking away from his word. Now, how does this apply to me? You might be thinking, Gary, you're just rambling. You know, it's today's age. It's new. I know better. Well, what is salvation based on? What is your salvation based on? Yes.
The gift of Jesus Christ.
The what?
The gift of Jesus Christ.
The gift of Jesus Christ, right? It's your faith, not your works.
Your face. Is it your face?
What? No, I didn't. Hun? She's living with me. She knows my slurs. It's faith, not by works. Did you know, fun fact, or interesting fact, I don't know if it's fun, because out there in all the religions throughout the whole world, all of them that have kind of like a heaven-based ending, only the biblical Christianity is the only one that we're not, that we don't have to work our way to heaven. Everybody else has something where a condition that, oh, you have to do this. You know, you have to believe, but you have to do this. Or you just have to be this. You have to be a good person to make it. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Cassia? Cassia, read.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
So again, it's not by work. It's by faith.
Yeah.
If anybody would, you know, if you were buying somebody, let's say if it was Christmas time or a birthday, actually this is a perfect example. It's like, all right, you bought this gift. Do you want Cassia to pay for it?
No.
Come on. No? You could raise the price. It'd be fine. Right? No, because it'd change the definition, wouldn't it? It'd no longer be a gift. You'd just be exporting and importing goods. So it would change that definition. So let's go back to Deuteronomy and find out where God was saying as far as don't add or change. In chapter 12, 29 through 31, Jaden, my man.
When the Lord your God heads off from before you the nations which you go to dispose of, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not in the sand to follow them after.
See, right, but we cannot hear him at
all. After? Oh, after. Snared him and followed him after. Okay, ever?
Abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. Or they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods.
So, don't miss what's going on, is that God allowed the Jewish people to beat their enemies, right? To displace them, to kick them off their lands, and then you have that land now, right? This is Jewish. So it doesn't make sense that the Jewish people would think, I wonder how great their gods were. You know, how can I worship those gods? Your God just beat those gods. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it happened over and over and over again. You know, still today, God is the most powerful, yet people worship false idols. You know, they might not be wooden, they might be money and all different things, but they still would choose something less powerful to worship than God. And then you would think, I don't need to remind people not to kill their kids, right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple. And it's like, you know, no. But still today, aren't people up in arms? Aren't they fighting to go against God and go against what God hates? People still today will tell you God isn't good enough. You need to do a little bit more. You also need to be a good person. So he's not enough. You need to do this or that. So it is, you know, although this happened a long time ago, it still applies today because people still try to pervert God's word. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Stephen?
Or do I know pursue man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, I will not be in
a James Bond servant of Christ, right?
You're so funny.
I'm sorry. I'm cut that out. All right. Okay, to persuade, meaning, I have the actual definition. Want me to read that, or does somebody want to add in a definition? Anyone at all? Cassia.
I had a jingle on my
phone. That's how I knew it was you.
To convince. Thanks, Yannicka. I really appreciate that.
To convince, right? To cause somebody to do something. Because you convince them by reasoning or arguing with them, right? So is Paul trying to persuade God? Is Paul trying to persuade God? Sierra?
Yeah.
No? Why do you say no? You can't persuade God, right? God doesn't change, right? God's same. I mean, God's more powerful than you. How are you? Are you going to argue with God? Is he going, oh, I see your point. I'll just change the whole world now, right? So, no, he's trying to persuade men, right? Is Paul trying to please man?
No.
What? Nah. Why nah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know? Have you heard? He's because he would still because he me because bond servant because James bond servant.
He's a bond servant. Aiden, do you know why he's not? Why you say no? He's not trying to please man. That was a good answer. Jaden?
Lana was so desperate. Please let her in.
He's not trying to please men because he is serving Christ. And if he tries to please men, he won't be able to please Christ.
Right? Because he wouldn't have confronted them and saying, hey, how come you guys fell for false teaching? Right? He would have said that if he wasn't following God. If he didn't care enough to fix things that were broken, he wouldn't be following God. So he had to fix things because he's following, because he's a bondservant of God. So that might ruffle somebody's feathers. It might step on somebody's toes. Right? But he had to do it because it's more important to please God than to please man. Verses 11 through 12, Sierra.
But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right. Paul lets them know that the message that he preached did not come from man. So there's no chance, he didn't hear it from the man, there's no chance of mishaps, you know, no chance that the game of telephone changed some things. We all know that game, right? You know, but it, huh?
We should play that afterwards.
You know, but there's no chance because Paul's message came straight from the source, right? It came from Jesus. Verses 13 through 14, Aiden.
You have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation by being
So Paul knew about these false teachers. He knew how they worked, these Judaizers, because he was just like them. He was just like them. In Acts, we read about Saul, who is Paul, right? I believe most of us know that, you know the story, right? Now, it seems like a lot of people think that he changed his name. Now, it never actually says he changed his name from Saul to Paul. I think it depends on his audience. That's what I've come up with in my studies, that it depends on his audience. If he's directing his letters or what he's talking to the Jews, it is Saul. But if he's talking to the Gentiles, it's Paul. It's just, again, it was what I feel is just the way how you say his name in two different languages and how they translated it. Whatever name you want to say, he was exceedingly zealous for his father's traditions. Meaning that he was really excited and wanted to keep all of his father's traditions, right? And all the customs, he's talking about the Jewish traditions, right? Just like the Judaizers. That's why when Christianity started, it was different. It was change. And he tried everything. He threatened, he killed, trying to destroy it. Remember in verse 1 of Galatians? We'll just put it up. We won't read it again, but verse 1 says, he followed not from man. There was a time he was sent out by men, the Sanhedrin. You know, rulers, elders, and the scribes of Israel sent Paul to persecute the church of God. He was given power by a man, by the high priest, was given letters of authority to do this, to go arrest Christians. On the road to Damascus, Jesus knocked him off his high horse. Right? Huh?
Literally.
But from that day, Paul knew who Jesus is. But he didn't start preaching right away. He didn't just jump off, oh, hey, okay, now I'm going to teach you the gospel. He didn't do that. He took 3 years to build a relationship with Jesus. And then after that, he didn't just start out preaching. No, he went to Jerusalem to talk to Jesus' disciples. You know, the men on earth who would have known Jesus the best, right? They spent years with him. He wanted to talk to them. And after talking with them, he was telling them about the message that he got from Jesus. And they told him, you know what? You're spot on. So Paul didn't rush into things. He didn't just jump in, okay, I know everything. I'm smarter than everybody. I know the message now. He wanted to know the message was correct, so he did his research. He did his verifications. And this is how Paul knew that if you're adding to his message, it's just like adding to God's message. And you're saying that Jesus, these Judaizers are saying Jesus is not enough, which is completely wrong. Because Jesus is enough. And there is only one gospel. There's not multiple gospels. It's only one message. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. In Titus chapter 3, 4 through 5. Lana?
For when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
So we're saved. You know, our part is our faith, but God's part is his mercy, his love, and his grace. You know, not by our works of righteousness. We can't do anything good enough. I know it stinks for some of us who like to do the same on our own, but we can't do anything good enough, righteous enough. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to lean on Jesus. You know, it's a free gift. He's not asking anything for it. He just wants us to accept him. Cassia, can you close us in prayer? And then we'll do communion.